It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Turned up. Wow. You'd think I had never done this before, Miss Mary. Good morning. This is the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day, whether you heard that or not the first time go around. I'm Neva Pyatt, sitting in the driver's seat, not handling it too well this morning, obviously. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, and our guest today, Miss Mary Fullerton. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
It's always good to have you. You're always filled with the scripture, and you bring it to us, and we appreciate that.
Yes, well, there's nothing better.
That is exactly right. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net. Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, and we appreciate each one of our sponsors who hung in here with us and are so faithful to support this program. We record in two parts, and we have it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, a little bit after the program is over, so you can go there. If you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, you can send them there. They can click on the Hour of Power and then go to Tuesday, and they can hear Miss Mary's message. I think I've covered everything, Miss Mary. Will you pray to start us out?
Okay. Father God, we just give you praise today for this privilege of sharing your goodness and your word and who you are to the listeners, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father, because you are so faithful. You are so mighty. Lord, we want all of the focus today to be on you, Lord. And we thank you, God, because you watch over your word to perform it. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for who you are to us. Lord, you're a personal God. And we pray, Lord, that you would just draw people to yourself. Give them a fresh revelation of who God wants to be to them in their life, Lord. Because you are no respecter of persons, Lord. And you make yourself available to all those who will seek after you. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen and amen.
Amen. So I see your title today is Who is God?
Yes.
All right.
And I was sharing with somebody just a while ago that when I was young, I did not know how to praise the Lord. I mean, I would go to church and I would hear all these older saints, and it seemed like they could just praise God. And I would think, how do they think of all that stuff to praise God with, you know? And then we had a youth revival one time, and this guy gets up there and he says, if you don't know how to praise God and you run out of things to say, he said, let me help you a little bit. He said, get into your Bible, into the concordance, and there will be lists of who Jesus is in the Gospels. You know, the Gospels say that he's the good shepherd, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. You know, he is the living water. He is all these things. He said, get in there and look up some of the scriptures. And then he said, just in your private time at home, just read them before the Lord and say, Lord, this is who you are to me. Well, I did that. And I was telling them, that's the first time that I remember that the Word of God really came alive to me. Mm-hmm. He was like, he just came down and sat down on top of me that day. And I got so lost in praising him. And he gave me a fresh revelation that day of who he was to me. And so That's the first time that I remember the word becoming so real to me. And it's like, since then, it's not that I have not had ups and downs since then. But since any time that I needed to really, like, refocus and get my eyes on who God was, it came through the Word of God. And God started training me from that time on to go to the Word. And it's just Him that has done this in me. Mm-hmm. We can't brag about ourselves for anything. It's all Him.
That's right.
He gives us everything we need to serve God. And then He draws us. He paid the price Himself, and He sent His Son to pay the price. And then He draws us to Him. And then when we come, He gives us Himself so that we can walk in. He orders our steps in Him.
That's right.
He gives us everything. We cannot do anything without God.
That's right.
Without Him, we are nothing. And I say, Lord, I can't even walk without You holding mm-hmm. my hand. And so He just, from that time on, He has grown to be so near to me. And I'm not any better than anybody else. You know, I'm still flesh and blood, and there's times that I fail. But God is so good.
He's faithful.
Yes, He is.
Even in our shortcomings.
Yes, and in fact, that's one of the first scriptures we're going to turn to. I love the old prophets because there are so many scriptures that prophesy about the coming Messiah and what He is and everything. And so one of my favorite prophets, of course, is Isaiah. So we're going to turn, these first scriptures are from Isaiah. And we're going to turn, and we're going to start with Isaiah 25, the first verse. And I would like to say God is one God in three persons. And we say, huh? Well, I mean, it's just like you have a family. And people know, they'll say, that's the Pyatt family. You know, that's the Brown family. But there are different members in that family. There's the mother, there's the father, and there's however many children there are. And that's the way God is. He's one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And you can think of a lot of things in natural life that come in threes. You think about the parts of an egg. There's a white, there's a yolk, and there's a shell. But yet it's just one egg.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a practical way uh-huh. of explaining the one God in three persons, Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
But He makes up one God.
That's right.
They are so intertwined in their purpose that you can't, they just blend so much together. And they are, but yet they each have their own personality. And they do their part to reveal who they are in that one God as three persons to us. And so Isaiah 25:1 says, and He tells us to exalt Him and to praise Him. So this first scripture says, O Lord, Thou art my God. That just blows me away that the creator of this universe wants to have a personal relationship with me, who is just made out of the dust of the earth. He created me, and there's a lot of people on this earth that don't even know my name, nor do they care to, you know. But God wants to have a relationship with me. And that just blows me away. He made it all. He made the way. He sent Jesus. He purposed it, said Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. God planned to have a relationship with us before he ever made the earth or anything else. And then he sent Jesus to us. And then he sent his Holy Spirit out to draw us into a relationship with him. And then every day he gives us the strength and he gives us the power. He pours himself into us so that we can turn around and walk with him and bring glory to his name. We can't do nothing without him. That's who God is to me. And so he says, "Oh Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Just what we said. He's faithful and he's true. Faithfulness and truth. And his mercies endure forever. Isaiah 25 verse 4 says, and here it shows his characteristics begin to come out. "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones, when the enemy gets after us, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm and we're against the wall. You know, sometimes it seems like we're pushed against the wall and we don't know which way to turn. But God is the way maker. And so, and then verse 6 says, "And in this mountain," or Mount Zion, Jerusalem, "shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined." And I was reading that and I said, "Lord, I can understand this phrase that you make a feast of fat things and that your fat things are full of marrow." Marrow is the substance that our bones are made out of. And so, and I said, "But Lord, what does this mean of wines on the lees? Well refined." So I looked up that word lees and in the dictionary, and it said, "The sediment of wine during fermentation and aging." And so, anyway, so God, he gives us, you know, when we think of feastings, we think of the finest foods and the best. I mean, even when Jesus was walking here, he was called to go. He was invited to go to a wedding. And when he got there, they said, they've run out of wine. And Jesus' mother said to him, "You need to do something about this." I'm paraphrasing in my own language. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "Well, my time hasn't come." But she looked at the servants. She said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And so he told them to draw some water. And he said, "Now, bear this to the governor of the feast." And when they took it, the governor didn't know where it came from. But he tasted it and he said, he told the host, he said, "Most men serve their good wine at the first. And then when people have kind of gotten drunk a little bit," he said, "then they serve the lesser wine." But he said, "You save the best to last." He said, "This is the best. This was a better wine than what you served at the first." And so, you know, God does. He makes a feast for his children. Mm-hmm. And he serves us the finest. He serves us the finest. And I'm not a drinker, so I don't know anything about wine or anything about alcohol or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, you think about wine and how it ferments, and it seems like the longer, the older it is, that it has it, that aging, you know, makes it better and better. And so people, they like the aged wines.
I see.
So
if it doesn't taste like Welch's grape juice, I wouldn't like it.
Well, anyway, so Isaiah 25:8. He, God, will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And this scripture reminds me of a lot of times at church, somebody will come up for prayer, and the person that's praying on them, he will say, God showed me to pray this over you. And he said, he'll say something sometimes like, you've had a lot of trouble. And he said, you've had a lot of people coming against you, and they have kind of put curses on you. And he said, but God says that he's going to shut their mouths, you know, and he is going to turn things around for you, and you're going to receive the favor of the Lord. And so this scripture that he said, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away, so from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And he said, I was just reading it this morning. He said, do my prophets no harm. He said, do my prophets no harm. And so sometimes we hear of people, you know, that they talk bad about the church, or they talk about bad about this person of God or that person of God. And God says, you better be careful, because you're laying your hand on my anointed people. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to deal with me, you know, if you keep doing that. And so that's where this scripture, and the rebuke of his people shall God take away from off the earth. It's like we do need correction sometime, and God will correct us. But to the world, God always takes up for us. He takes up for his own. But he will correct us. He will come. But the correction of God is so wonderful. I remember one time I thought, I was expecting for, I said, Lord, how come things turned out the way they did in my life? I said, it doesn't seem like anything worked out right. And he showed me. And I was expecting him to say, you did this wrong, you've done this wrong, mm-hmm. you've done this wrong, and you've done that wrong. But God didn't do that. He just gently said, he took me back to a point where somebody told me something that really cut me to the heart. And I lost hope. And I went out of there. And all God said to me, he said, you let her discourage you. And you went out from there and you dropped the ball. He didn't let me off the hook. But he was gentle in the way that he dealt with me. He didn't rail over me and beat me over the head. He said, you let her discourage you. And you went out from there and you dropped the ball. And you didn't even try after that. And I was just stunned, because I had said, oh, Lord, does that mean that what I had in my heart to do was really your will? But I let her discourage me, and I just believed what she said. And you're right, Lord. I didn't try. But, Lord, I didn't know. I said, I'd always been taught that you did, you know, what people over you said. And so I just believed him hook, line, and sinker because, Lord, they've been your servants for a long time. And so I said, I believe the lie of the enemy, and I believed it all these years. But I said, does that mean that what I thought back then is really true? Oh, Lord, I didn't know. He said, yeah, I knew that. He said, that's why I'm going to give you a second chance. Mm-hmm. He said, and I said, well, Lord, I can't expect you to give me back all of those years that just fell to the ground. I said, just give me something nobody else wants to do, and I'll go out, and I'll do that. And God says, well, he said, I want to use you like I used Moses. And that really blew me away when mm-hmm. he said that. Because he was just, he said, and I know that you didn't know that, so I'm going to give you a second chance. He said, and I'm going to make you a promise. He said, because you think that this day is far past and that it will never happen. But he said, I'm going to show you that I'm going to do this for you just because you don't really think that it's possible, and I'm going to show you. And did you know that that came to pass? It was a process of time before it did. But even this last year, God put the finishing touches on that promise to me.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, he gives us his very best. And he feeds us the best wine. And so he will rebuke people for our sakes. And he's gentle when he corrects us. And especially if we give ear to his correction and we say, Lord, forgive us and help us to do better, then he will come to our aid. And he will be gentle, but he deals with those that come against us, you know, and he calls them into accountability for those things. And yet he loves everybody, and he's not willing that any should perish.
Mm-hmm.
And just even those people that come against him in that way, he will turn around and receive them into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And save them.
That's
and
right.
Raise them up.
Right.
We cannot even fathom the love of God
mm-mm.
and what he does, how he loves us.
You know, I was listening to a man on the radio this morning who said, continue to pray. Continue to pray for those people. He said, my dad and mom prayed for me forever. And I even went in my dad's prayer closet one time and said, quit praying for me. I don't want your God. Leave me alone. Quit praying for me. And he said, finally, a couple of years before my dad died, he said, I came to know the Lord, and I called him and told him. And he said, so never give up praying for those people who don't know the Lord.
Yes. And so, anyway. And, you know, we have to remember that when Jesus was here, he had a lot of people that came against him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're not any better. The servant is not above his master. And Jesus is our Lord and he's our master. And if they treated him that way, they're going to treat us. And Jesus told us they would. He said, when you follow me, it's not going to be an easy road. You know, if they rebuked, if they came against me, they're going to come against you. So it's just part of it. We might as well expect it, and then that way we won't be so discouraged when it comes, because mm-hmm. he told us it was going to. And what a privilege. What a privilege we get to suffer even a few little comments about us, you know, compared to what Jesus suffered for us. A few little remarks from somebody is nothing, you know, because he paid the ultimate price. And so we ought to be willing to suffer for his sake. You know, mm-hmm. it's a, and he rewards us so much when we do, you know. And so, anyway, Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And so, Isaiah 26:2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, open the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou wilt keep him. Now this is one of my favorite scriptures. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And that Jehovah is spelled in all capital letters, even in the Word of God. It's spelled in all capital letters. Isaiah 26:12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. God gives us his peace. He is peace. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. There's not another foundation like our God. There's not a foundation like Jesus. And so he says he's a tried stone. He hung on that cross. He put up with the rebuke and the abuse of people that were slapping him and beating him and pulling out his beard and buffeting him. Even before he got to the cross. And then they laid him down and they put nails in his hands and his feet. And they had shoved an old crown of thorns on his head. And then when they put that cross in the ground, they weren't gentle with it. They just threw him in there, in that hole. And you can just imagine the pain that he went through. When they did that, it tore his flesh. And he hung on that cross for 3 hours after they had beat his back with 39 stripes for our healing. He suffered that for our healing. And then they said, now that somebody was telling me about the death of the cross. And I heard, I think it was this guy that's on TV, his name was John Hagee, and he was preaching one time about the Roman crucifixion and the death of the cross. And he said, to get a breath, the people that were hanging on the cross, they would have to push up on their feet. And then to exhale that breath, they would have to drop all their weight. And it would put stress on their hands, and their back was rubbing up and down against that cross every time they took a breath, every time they took a breath, and then every time they exhaled. And you think about that, he was marred, the Bible says, more than anybody, where he was hardly recognizable. And all the pain that he went through for us, he hung that way for 3 hours, gasping for breath. And he said, nobody takes my life for me. I lay down my life. And he chose, he said, I lay down my life. And he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and he died, because he said, I came and I finished the work that my Father sent for me to do. That's the price he paid for us.
Amen.
We owe him. We owe him all of our praise, all of our service, all of our adoration. Anything that we have to go through does not compare one iota to what he went through for us.
That's right. That's right. Mary, would this be a good place to stop and do some prayer requests?
Yes.
Okay. We do have several.